Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. I'm so glad to have you with us this evening, right here at Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember a couple things. I'm not an attorney, don't practice law, I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably not one who wrote one of the articles I just read. I have a California insurance license, has nothing to do with anything, but I have to tell you, I'm not securities licensed. I don't sell securities, therefore I don't have a license, but I have to tell you, I have a legal document assistant license recorded. My license is recorded. My bond is recorded in Sacramento County, California. That license allows me to create legal documents such as trusts and powers of attorney at your direction and request. I'm going to talk about something really important related to that that's going to allow access to California consumers to much lower price legal help. So you'll want to pay attention to that. What else? And everything I say here is my opinion only and is never intended to be any form of tax, legal tax or financial advice. We're talking about long-term care is what we talk about here. What happens to us when we get older? What happens to grandma and grandpa? How do we take care of them? And I'm going to read you a couple articles today. And then I'm going to tell you about something that's going on at the state bar that I think you should be aware of. And we'll get started. Thank you for joining me. Remember, my contact number is 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Also, don't forget that I have a workshop coming up on the 23rd, limited to 10 or 12 people. That's all I can take. I just finished a workshop the other day. My next one's on the 23rd of November at 10:30. I'll give you more information on that. You can go to my website for more information, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. And you can get a wealth of information. You can also follow me on Facebook. And that's really a good thing to do. My Facebook page is not filled with, you know, rants. My Facebook page is about long-term care. And you can go to my Facebook page by simply going, typing in Facebook/AssetsAndAnd, Assets and Aging. And you'll get my Facebook page and you can watch my Facebook live videos. I just did one the other day. I'm going to do another one here in another day or two. I do a couple a week and you should watch them. They're full of information. And it leads to my first article today that I want to talk to you about. What was this in? I'm trying to figure out what this was in. Something called Popovers or something. Anyhow, I get interesting stuff all the time. I think that's the name of it. And it's written by somebody named Nick Lieber. I don't know who that is. But it says, seniors beware of trusted pros. Cases of older people being scammed by lawyers, insurance, financial advisors are on the rise. No, they're not. They've been around forever. And I will tell you one of the reasons that people get scammed by people is there's so much misinformation out there. So much misinformation out there. That when somebody hears something different, they think that must be the truth. I had somebody come in to see me the other day that really has need for me. They probably won't use me. Because there's an old saying because then I have to explain the saying. But they had been to another Medi-Cal expert. And the Medi-Cal expert had said for $8,800, they could fix the problem. But the problem hadn't been identified. In fact, I spent about, 45 minutes with them. And I said, how many of the questions I asked you has the other expert asked you? Because I've been doing this longer than anybody around, folks. And they said, well, they didn't ask any of these questions. They just said that for $8,800, they could get my mom or dad or whoever it was on Medi-Cal in a nursing home. And I said, but see, you need to know the answers to all of these questions because this isn't a long-term care planning is not one size fits all. It's simply not one size fits all. It doesn't work that way. It's not go do this, this, and this, and you and Medi-Cal magically appears. It doesn't work that way. So yeah, you know, who do you believe? I don't know who you believe. Because if somebody says there's a 5-year look back period and then they come to me and I say no there isn't, they don't believe me. But I read it. It said so on the Medi-Cal website. An advisor told me. But there isn't a 5-year look back. Well, but they said, and I've lost that person forever because they've been told what they think is the truth. So a lot of this stuff comes from not knowing what reality is. I mean, some of it is obvious where a caregiver started logging into an old lady's bank account and started taking money out. I mean, that's straightforward. That's a caregiver. One of the things I've told people about when you hire a caregiving agency, whoever it is, remember, you may be hiring the agency, but you're hiring a minimum wage worker who's going to be taking care of your mom and dad. It's nice to know something about the agency, but you really might want to know something about the person taking care of your mom or dad. I had a client call me this week and they said they took my advice and they're going to move into Aegis of Carmichael, which I think is the best assisted living facility in town. And I can say that because I've been dealing with them for 10 years. I've had many clients in there. I know how they work. They have a history. My clients love it. My clients love that they're honest. My clients love that they're being taken care of and all that kind of stuff based on my referral. And no, I don't get anything for the referral. I do it because I tend to tell people who the best are. But you could go somewhere else and they'd say, oh, you know, that Acme assisted living over there, they don't have a very good reputation. Now, who do you believe? First of all, how do you check? Number one, how do you really know? So when you read an article, and that was my first, in 2017, financial institutions filed 63,500 suspicious activity reports tied to the exploitation of older adults, according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, blah, 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 blah. Somebody from the finance, who's this from? From the LA Times. Okay, what does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. Financial institutions, where? In the United States, only found 63,000 suspicious activity reports. How many seniors are there in America, and how many banks and financial institutions and brokers and all that? And notice it says suspicious activity. It doesn't mean anything bad happened. So all of a sudden, your advisor is a crook because somebody writes an article that says, oh my gosh, there's a... Now, there are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle this. I'm trying to say it's like anything else. Just because somebody says something about something doesn't make something true. I know lots of people who've had bad things said about them, and I happen to know that the bad things said about them weren't true. I've had bad things said about me. And I happen to know, and other people that deal with me happen to know, they're not true. It's not true. So, I mean, one in five older Americans is a victim of financial exploitation, said blah, 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 who heads the Bank Safe Initiative at AARP. Where does that come from? One in five older Americans is a victim of financial exploitation. Most of the time it's by family members, not by trusted pros. Most elder financial abuse is children and grandchildren. It's family members, not financial institutions, not trusted pros. It's family. So when you read something like this, everybody becomes, well, I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to trust. Because you have an article that basically is innuendo. To say one in five seniors is a victim of elder abuse is a meaningless number. One in five older Americans, it doesn't even say seniors, is a victim of financial exploitation, for, according to some organization. The vast majority of such attempts to separate the elderly from the money, both illegal and legal, go unreported. Why? Because most of it's family members. 95% of the elder financial abuse I've seen is by family members. Not some stranger, not by gypsies, not by people, although I have seen that. It's family members. It's the children and grandchildren or great-grandchildren or an uncle or a cousin or a grandson or whoever it is. It's children. It's family members. It's a brother. It's a sister of the ill person. I'm not trying to belittle, listen to this. I want to say this, and I'm just going after the article for this. It's not just financial professionals doing the fleecing. So-and-so, an attorney with so-and-so, I'm not going to say who, said some lawyers build a business model helping adult children take control of their parents' assets. Others encourage older clients to make financial decisions that aren't in their own best interest. There's a sleazy underbelly to elder law. That's one of the stupidest statements I've ever heard, and it's made by an attorney. Others encourage older clients to make financial decisions that aren't in their best interest. By whose definition? By this person? Some lawyers build a business model helping adult children take control of their parents' assets. I've seen parents that can't control their own assets, and the children better take control of it, otherwise they're going to become a victim of elder abuse. I found this article so overly simplistic and scary that it's just going to scare the daylights out of seniors. Instead of helping them find advice that's well thought out and professional and courteous and all that, they're going, oh, who can I trust? And And then there's another lawsuit. I'm not going to go into that. And it's like, give me a break. Well, some of it is bad. I happen to know one of these cases, and it's not really great. But it's not okay to write an article that says, seniors beware of trusted pros. I've been doing this 35 years, and if there's anything I've seen a rise in, it's in family members trying to steal from grandma or mom or dad or whatever. And I've seen some really bad cases of it. But it's not happening all day long, and it's not happening on a broad basis. And you need to trust the people that you get advice from. Ask them lots of questions. Bring the family. It's one of the reasons I encourage everybody to bring the family. I want the kids to know. I want the kids to know what's going on. Who's going to take care of me when I can't take care of me? My kids. I don't want to be afraid of my kids. I want my kids involved. And this makes it sound like we should all be afraid of our kids. So anyhow, I just brought to your attention what I thought, in my own opinion, is a stupid article that scares seniors and scares people into not trusting anybody. And that's not good either, because that's when you get taken care of, taken over by somebody who really is doing things they shouldn't be doing. Okay, I read you an article. Oh, do I have it here? I read you an article. I got to see if I got it here. Don't go away. I'm looking. When friends stop calling. After an Alzheimer's diagnosis, friends stop calling. This was from the Wall Street Journal. I read that to you last week, I think. Well, this was a letter to the editor in regard to that article. And this is a letter to the editor in regard to that article. And it was written, I'm not going to tell you who it was written by because it doesn't matter. But I want to read this to you. Alzheimer's is multiply cruel and isolating. Until we address this need in the treatment of a growing population of needy citizens, we will continue to see isolation, despair, and exhaustion among sufferers and their caregivers. I just visited my dear friend who has dementia and resides in a memory care facility. The article, The Isolation Alzheimer's Brings, blah, 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 the one I told you about in the Wall Street Journal, prompted me to visit her, even though we usually run out of conversation quickly. I took an album of photos of a trip we had taken together 30 years ago in Japan. We chatted and laughed over the pictures, and it was a heartwarming visit. She became quite animated and could recall many little things about Japan. Thank you for reminding me of my friend and the importance of spending an hour reminiscing together. Again, this was a letter to the editor written in response to an article called, let me go to it again because it's so good. After an Alzheimer's diagnosis, friends stopped calling, by Claire Ansberry in the Wall Street Journal, October 26th. I talked about it last week, I believe. I want to keep reading the letter. My husband experienced the isolation described in this article when he began exhibiting symptoms of dementia several years ago. No longer welcome in our community center, he was also left behind when his longtime buddies went out to breakfast every Friday morning. My wide search for socialization opportunities revealed that there was almost nothing in the way of day programs for those who are early in the inexorable march of dementia. Not only does this ensure their social isolation, it places additional stress on the caregiver, which I've talked about ad nauseum for 30 years, usually the spouse and sometimes adult children. Until we address this need in the treatment of a growing population of needy citizens, we will continue to see isolation, despair, and exhaustion among sufferers and their caregivers. This was written by a lady in Arizona whose first name is Diane. And it was a letter to the editor in regard to that article. You need to understand that dementia is a hard, hard, hard disease. And it's often done in silence. It's often done alone. It's often done by a spouse who's at their wit's end. In one third of the cases, the well spouse dies first when we're taking care of an ill spouse. It's so stressful, you can't believe it. And yet I got an article saying we shouldn't go to professionals for advice because you can't trust any of them. Well, who are you going to turn to? Dementia is such an isolating event. It's why I encourage people to come to my workshops, because one of the things that happens at my workshops is you see other people as they ask questions that you can tell are in the same circumstances you are. You're not in this alone. There's a lot of people in Sacramento and within the sound of my voice who are dealing with someone with dementia, all the way from mild dementia to they don't know what planet they live on dementia. And they're isolated and they're alone and there's nobody to take care of them and the spouse is suffering and the children are suffering and they're going through amazingly large sums of money doing this. And they wind up with caregivers they can't trust, and they wind up with caregivers that don't show up, and they wind up with caregivers who bring their boyfriend or their girlfriend, or they wind up with whatever. And dementia is really, really hard when there's really no one in the family that's able to do it. The kids are far away. Maybe the spouse is gone. There's a brother, but he's old too. You need to be involved in the life of people who are struggling, not only the person struggling with dementia, but the family struggling with the person with dementia. And just a simple touch on the arm, looking at some old photos, doing those kinds of things, singing songs. One of the parts of the brain that's not affected generally by dementia is music. You can sing with them. You can sing old songs. You can sing old hymns. You can sing, I don't care. Sing Merry Christmas, whatever. But if you're dealing with someone with dementia, you need to see me. You need to spend some time with me, and you need to begin to seek some answers because it's putting enormous stress on your family. The last thing I want to talk about, and I'll probably talk about one more thing because I don't want to spend a lot, but the State Bar is reviewing something called, I'm looking at tons of information on this. but it's called ATILS, ATILS, and it stands for Access Through Innovation of Legal Services Regulatory Reform Options, the Task Force on Access Through Innovation of Legal Services, ATILS. And the bar is contemplating this, and it's had an open period of comment, but very few members of the public commented. The reason why is nobody knows about this. 3,000 attorneys commented, mostly 3,000 people, mostly lawyers. And let me tell you briefly what ATILS is, and then you should get a hold of the California State Bar and tell them you would like to see this pass, because it's going to be great for consumers. What it does is it allows attorneys and non-attorneys to work together and to share a client. So, for instance, the CPA has got a client with dementia. He needs to get the attorney involved, and they can share information. This is civil only, not criminal. So that they can help the client, and they can help the client's family. You could have somebody in the insurance business who helps people figure out how to use their insurance policies, in the real estate business, helping with reverse mortgages or helping with the sale of a home so mom can pay for care, work together with an attorney. Right now, that's forbidden. Attorneys cannot be in business or share stuff with people that are not attorneys. As a result, it raises costs. In fact, One of the studies, let me read the study, said that 55%, the bar found that 55% of Californians at all income levels experienced at least one civil legal issue last year. 70% of those received no legal assistance. That's a stunning, and the reason why is they can't afford it. They just can't afford it. Not just low-income people, middle-income people can't afford an attorney at $500 an hour or $400 an hour. Just to review a brief, just to review a contract could cost $1,000. Easily. So one of the things that this does, ATILS, as allow attorneys and non-attorneys to work together, which will bring the cost of legal stuff down. So your CPA, who only charges $125 an hour, could do work that the attorney's doing, or a paralegal or a legal document assistant could do work at a much lower rate than the attorney's going to charge, and they could work together to help the client, and the client gets a lower fee out of it. It could be a game changer. Many people on the bar think that it can be, especially in the executive committee. So you can go to the California Bar Association, go to their contact site, and send them an email that says you're really a big fan and you'd love to see ATILS, A-T-I-L-S, pass the bar, pass and become law. I think, look it up, Google it, A-T-I-L-S. You'll get some information on it. A lot of it is confusing, but basically it would give more legal access to lower and middle income people in civil matters, not criminal. And the last thing I want to say is the same thing I've been saying for 30 years. If you're struggling with a family member who has dementia, Alzheimer's, ill, frail, can't get out, disabled, and you're really struggling with what to do, I can help. I've been helping for 30 years, my 21st year in KFBK. Get to my workshop on the 23rd. You can call me. You can go to my website, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Facebook/assetsandaging. And you can get help, you can become a member, you can have access to videos, you can have access to all kinds of information, you can have access to stuff. If you haven't done that, take time during the break to go do it. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007 or assetsandaging.com. I can help. Be bold. Be willing to move forward. Take action. This can go on for years, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years or more. Make sure you and your family are going to be in control. 800-999-8007 or assetsandaging.com. Get to my workshop on the 23rd. It's at 10:30. It's free. You can call me or go on my website and sign up. Thanks so much for joining me right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm glad to be here. I love being here. It's been a busy week for me. I look forward to doing this and seeing you at my workshop next week and being here right here again on KFBK next Sunday evening. Thanks so much. Have a great day.